This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden!
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
There is no racial bigotry. Here you are all equally welcome.
All other weapons are restricted. Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn.
Welcome!
Oh, that's amazing. You just have to do me one favor. You have to promise me one thing. Your first night in the home, when you sit down for your first family meal, it needs to be a potato-heavy meal. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, of course. All my meals are potato-heavy meals. What's wrong with you?
But extra potato-heavy.
Oh, okay.
Because of where you're going to be living.
Oh, yeah, because Idaho.
Yeah,
I got you.
Hoota Pimp.
We're moving to Hoota Pimp. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, did your mic come yet?
Oh, you better clean it up if it did.
No, that's... Oh, it is. Oh, it is it. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. He just doesn't have the
foam wiener on it.
The foamy on it, yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm fucking tired. It's, basically, I guess I can thank Uncle Joe or whatever, the government, for how busy I am. We are right now.
Everybody took their STEMI money and got tattoos.
Yeah.
Dude.
And guns. Just keep them upstairs, folks.
I want a
keep
back piece. Upstairs. Okay, what do you want me to what do you want me to do? What can I get for $1,400?
So yeah, I had a couple come in, total fucking over the top ghetto ass couple come in, and they're like discussing among themselves, like bah, 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 whatever, and then like go back and talk to me, and I was like, and they mind you, they're in front of me, they're right in front of me, and they turn towards each other, and turn towards me, and they're like, wow, the crack is real. The crack is real. So they fucking do that. And then I figured out that what they're doing is they're doing the math. They're doing, okay, we owe this much on our fucking car notes. We owe this on this. Like, how much tattoo can we both get with what we have left over? And I'm over here like, you know what? I'm over here like, how much do you have? Because I fucking gotta love those people because they want the stupidest, ridiculous shit.
Yeah, okay. I bet. I did the right thing and I used my STEMI money and bought a house.
There you go.
So, boys, that's the big announcement. I'm moving out of California. I teased it a little bit on the last episode of War Stories, but it is official. I have accepted a job out of California. They want me. I've given my 2 weeks notice at work. They want me to. I actually have to go up there and start work before I can even move my family because the house we bought doesn't close until like the first week of May. So I'm going up there. But check this shit out. It is going to be cheaper for me to rent a truck up there, drive it 1,100 miles to L.A., load up my shit and drive it 1,100 miles back and pay the mileage penalty.
And the gas and everything.
Than it will be to rent a one-way truck or have movers do it.
Wow, that doesn't surprise me. Movers are expensive.
Well, I don't even mean movers like they'll pack my shit. I mean movers like they show up with a truck and I pack the truck and right. then they and come then back they later and drive it up there.
Yeah.
Like that's like $6,600.
Wow.
And then to get a one-way truck's like $5,500, but to just pay the mileage fee and the gas prices, it's like $3,000.
Oh, there you go.
Guess what I'm doing, boys? We gotta get a convoy. I'm 100% getting CB radios. I'm gonna have my wife like Smokey and the Bandit that shit. Breaker, breaker, we got a Smokey.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
then there's beer in Texarkana. Well, on that note, welcome to the locker room. I am Tom.
I'm Matthew.
I have technical difficulties. I'll be right with you.
So that's my big announcement. I'm going to be moving to the potato state.
Nice.
I'm going to be moving to not just Idaho. I'm moving to northern Idaho.
That's militia country, right? That's where all the militias are.
I will be less than an hour from Ruby Ridge.
Ooh.
I will be like 40 minutes from Ruby Ridge, and I will be an hour and a half from the Canadian border.
Okay.
Basically, if I drive
potatoes and maple syrup, man, yeah, got you covered.
If I drive 25 minutes west, I hit the Washington state line, and if I drive 35 minutes east, I hit the Montana state line.
Okay. And so, then how far north to hit Canada?
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Yeah. About an hour and a half.
Dozer.
Yeah. Well, Dozer. Wait, you know, my mom's from there, so I've got citizenship. I can go get free health care. I can go get really shitty free health care, but I can go get free health care.
I was going to say. I mean, that was like the claim to fame until everyone,
realized how horrible it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you mean?
I can't go to Canada. I'm not allowed in Canada. They won't let me in.
We'll fix that.
You won't be. You're not allowed in a lot of places.
Yeah,
you're not allowed in Applebee's.
That's true.
Okay, you're not allowed in there's like at least two Applebee's you're not allowed in,
and a TGI,
that one TGI Fridays, and a couple of Denny's.
Well, I saw what you did in the phone booth.
Allegedly.
There's no video back then. We did not have cell phone cameras and social media.
There's no video, so therefore it never happened.
Which, you know what, Matt, I don't know if you intended to be the king of the Segway, but you were the king of the Segway because
that was intentional,
brother. We are talking about
not intentional.
That was 100% fucking intentional.
That was
Don't take this moment away from you. Don't take it away from him.
Whatever. You mispronounced me.
But no drinks?
But no drinks tonight.
This water. See, look, water. Oh. Swear to God, not vodka.
No, was that freaking Cheech and Chong movie where Chong goes up to the they're in court, and the judge has the water, and he goes and grabs the judge's water, and he goes, "That's fucking vodka, man."
Yeah.
Just the idea that when we were growing up, we didn't have cell phone cameras, and we're totally doing the get off my lawn thing tonight, because tonight our three Generation X asses are going to discuss growing up as Generation X and why that means that we're just sitting back and eating popcorn, watching the boomers and the millennials fight it out, despite the cries for help from both sides
they're trying to drag us into this bullshit.
What the fuck they want us to do?
Oh, we'll get into that. But first, we have a little bit of business to attend to. Number one, Marco.
Yo.
Open the book.
Oh, yeah. Is this from my post earlier? Yeah.
Hold on. Stand by. Around here somewhere. Hold on.
All right.
Okay, got it.
Go ahead, Matthew.
So, I would like to proclaim that you vegans.
Oh.
You vegans.
Shots fired.
Mm-hmm. You are no longer permitted to intentionally make food to look and taste and seem like meat.
Ooh, yes, Lord. Mm.
Okay.
Ooh. Take it to church, brother.
Not allowed. So, Marco, did you see that post?
Which one? Vegans are
taking vegan food and they're shaping it to look like meat and then cooking it in barbecue sauce and trying to pretend it's meat.
I did see that. I'd be pissed. I'd be heated. You're talking about the ribs, right? You're talking about
the ribs.
Yeah, vegan ribs.
Because here's the thing.
Ribs.
That's always a thing where like someone, here, try this burger, and then you eat it. What do you think? It's good. Hey, surprise, it's not meat. If you do that to a vegan, they get like, it's like, take me to the hospital. Like, hey, try this, you know.
Hey, try this impossible burger. Try this impossible I'll try burger. It. Wow, that's really good. That's because it's fucking meat, asshole.
It doesn't work the other way.
Hey, try this milk substitute. Oh, this is really good. Where'd you get it? A cow.
I'm fucking somebody up at work with that.
You are 100. Well, first of all, if you want to be vegan, right? Fine. Sure. I think you're an idiot, but that's, you know, there's a lot of people.
Whatever.
And to be fair, I think a lot of people are idiots. So
not, you know, it's, you're not in the special class if I think you're an idiot. You're in a very broad category.
But like the guy said in the post, if I bite into ribs and it's bread and shit, I'm sending everyone involved to Sky Daddy. And I love that term.
Sky Daddy.
Sky Daddy. I'm sending you all to see Sky Daddy.
I think we should adopt that.
We should. Send them to Sky Daddy. That's
send them to Sky Daddy.
There's some people that just need to go to Sky. When, uh-oh. How does it sound?
How does that sound?
Oh,
you got to back off it just a little bit. They're a little hot.
They're a little hot. A little silky smooth.
Silky smooth. That was my mistake the first time out of the box. I was all up on it. I was used to those low quality bullshit microphones. But now that CAD Audio hooked us up and all three of us are rocking the Pimp Daddy.
Yeah, I'm just what model Podmaster, is it, Thomas? It's a Podmaster Super D and USB and professional let me tell you, broadcasting microphone.
Super D. Any mic Super that D. is a Super D, right? I mean, what did we used to say? We had in the old podcast, we'd had people on. We'd have like guests and people come in to talk to us and they wouldn't know how to like keep the microphone. And we'd be like, what do we say? We say, you got
it. It was like Will Ferrell and Ricky Bobby. Thing. Like, what do I do with my hands? What do I do with the microphone? And we're like, you gotta
eat. I don't know what to do with my hands. Just
up in your mouth.
Keep it inside.
So I think here the book should reflect that if you try to serve a meat eater a non-meat product that is shaped like and deceptively designed to appear as meat.
Like faking?
We're sending your ass to Sky Daddy.
Yeah. Yep. You want to eat that shit that is like a meat substitute. That's cool. But you don't get to call it a burger. You don't get to call it ribs. You don't get to call it a steak. Those are meat products. Those are not soy freaking whatever products.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna put a little amendment to this and see how you guys feel about this.
All right.
If you give me faking,
we fighting.
Without without letting me know first, I'm gonna fucking throw a punch you.
Yeah. You're saying
old We're school getting handsy. Schoolyard.
We're getting handsy.
Right.
I mean, the level of disrespect and insult is guys, faking. I'm not even gonna pull my beanerness out and talk about Soriso. Look, I'm gonna leave that alone. People have different opinions on the Soriso. That's fine. But I'm gonna tell you straight out. I'm throwing hands. If you give me bacon, if I'm like, oh, you want some bacon with your eggs? Fuck yeah, I want bacon with my eggs. I want bacon with my fucking everything. You know, I'm pretty adopted American at this point in time.
Underneath what we just put in the book, here's a little PS.
Mm-hmm.
There has never been, nor will there ever be, a substitute for real bacon.
No. Mm. No.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, I'd rather eat that dog bacon, the bacon strips, than
bacon strips.
Vegan bacon.
Real bacon.
I mean, well, that shit is made with, you know, with actual meat product, you know, meat byproduct, but meat product.
So now here is something that's interesting. That kind of ties in again. Matt is the king of segues, unintentionally. So,
everything I do is calculated.
We had an email from a listener who asked us about our feelings about the film Soylent Green.
Man of People.
See, Marco knew. I never heard of this fucking film.
So Matt had never heard of Soylent Green.
I know.
What?
I know. And well, now hold on. Metallica guy, if you heard of this fucking film and I haven't, then I owe you something.
Yeah, well, so here I'm going to read you the beginnings, right? And tell me if this isn't something we kind of should watch and do a review on it.
Okay. All right. Hit me.
It says,
I'm not watching Soylent Green again. Anyway, go ahead.
It says, by the year 2022, the cumulative effects of overpopulation, pollution, and a climate catastrophe have caused severe worldwide shortages of food, water, and housing. There are
so me 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so this is now. This is the now time.
This is Austin 2 weeks ago. Go ahead.
You're looking at now.
Now. Yeah.
What happened to
when will now be then?
Soon.
Wait, what happened to then? We just missed passed it. Then.
Just when? Now.
Oh. Just now.
Mr. Coffee. This guy.
No, it's just coffee now. You can't gender
it's just coffee.
Mr.
Coffee. Oh, it's just coffee. Just coffee.
Just coffee.
So it says there are 40 million people in New York City alone, where only the city's elite can afford spacious apartments, clean water, and natural food. Again, it's still just now. It's
still now. We're now.
Stop. I have an idea.
What?
Stop. Stop the press. I have an idea.
Okay.
I want to take this ridiculousness to the next level.
Okay.
I think we should start a petition to force Starbucks to change their fucking logo. Because it's not inclusive, because they have that one chick on the fucking on
Minerva. The isn't that who it is?
And it does not matter. It does not matter. It is a non-gender. But I say we use their own shit against them. Mm. We start a position. We get something going and see if this shit takes off. That's a joke.
Well, I'm down with it.
Like,
let's do it.
Like Scientology.
Well, so in this, you're trying to tickle me. You're trying to get me to go. You're trying to get me to go off. I'm not as easy to push into that as Matt. But yeah, Matt. So essentially, this company called Soylent, they make Soylent Green, Soylent Red, Soylent Yellow. They're all like substitute foods, right? And they're supposed to be using Soylent is a combination of soy and lentil, right? So it's all like,
oh, okay,
right. Well,
so it's all like sustainable blah 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 blah.
Yeah, until Charlton Heston, a detective for the NYPD, discovers Soylent Green is people, and it turns out they've been euthanizing people and churning them through this machine and then spitting them out as these little crackers called Soylent Green, and everybody's
but like old school gigantic machine, like meat grinder, like right,
like a Gwar concert.
yes, exactly.
The people they were doing, was it just like random people? Was it homeless people? Was it like elderly people? Do we ever find out like what the
the criteria? I don't remember. I don't remember if they actually did.
And what year was this movie made?
Made
73
70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
1973. Yeah, for sure. So okay. I may have to do like a movie review or something.
I want to watch it just because I'm curious.
I mean, okay, well then, so that's what we should do. Marco, you don't have to watch it. We'll go based off of what you remember.
Oh, that's a long time ago. Okay, yeah, fine. I'm down.
And then Matt and
I were going to watch it again.
Matt and I will rewatch it, or I'll rewatch it.
Watch, bro.
And Matt will watch it for the first time. Yeah, it's
okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, our topic, as we're getting back to it, is apparently Fox. Somebody went on Fox News.
Fox. Yep.
And for the record, I hate the term boomer. Right. It's so irritating. But
can you give me a years on the boomer?
The years on the boomers.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So the just baby boomer generation. Is officially it's the name baby boomer comes from a baby boom that came after World War II, because all the guys were gone for a couple of years, and then they came home and they got all their wives pregnant, and there was a bunch of kids, and so
they were fucking
they were fucking.
So baby boomers are born from between 1946 right and 1964. That's some nice symmetry there, 46 to 64.
Right. Well, so our parents are.
My parents, yeah.
And then, and then the millennials are typically considered 1981
to
1996, which is actually kind of a very short window, it seems like.
17 years? Oh, so, no, actually, less for 15 years?
It's usually a generation supposed to be 20 years, which would take it all the way to 2001. But for some reason, they say that that's it. So generation
X, ours is short too.
So generation 65, X 79? Is 65 to 80.
Yeah, to 80, because 81 starts millennials.
15 right? years. That's only 15 years, right? Yeah, and I thought a generation was supposed to be 20 years, but I think there's
we don't need 20 years.
Yeah, we don't
need, because we're fucking dope.
Yeah. That's right. We're dope.
Throw some throwback.
So somebody in the baby boomer generation went on Fox News and said that Gen X has the power to stop cancel culture
and to save America,
to get in the fight to save America from cancel culture.
And what are we fucking He-Man? We're fucking He-Man. I have the power.
Dude, if there is not a fucking big red light in the sky that says X, I'm not coming.
Even then, I would be like
generation X. Oh,
No, there could be a big red light in the sky, and I would look up and go, "That's cool."
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm gonna be real with you guys. If you give me the combination of those two, give me the big X, red X in the sky, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan doing that whole fucking, you know, I may be in.
I may be in. So, the idea was is that Gen X needs to pick a side. Either we're with the millennials and cancel culture, or we're with the baby boomers and want things to go back to the way it was. And
no, we don't.
The internet,
yeah, there's a problem with that.
Fucking exploded.
Yeah.
Wow.
And all
this is fantastic. Oh,
so all the I sent the memes, Margo. So while we're talking, you should go and, right, and peep these. The internet responded as the internet does with its most greatest of reactions. And it was basically a bunch of Gen Xers like us calling out the baby boomers and the millennials as being the worst and saying, fuck you both. We're out.
Yep.
And one of my favorites was a picture of the cast of The Breakfast Club. And it said, remember, for millennials and boomers, as much as you hate each other, never forget there's a generation in between the two of you that hates you both.
True story.
And, you know, it was like there was one that I felt so like hard. It was like, you know, they showed the PMRC explicit parental advisory, explicit music label. And it was like, y'all want us to stop cancel culture when you guys were the ones that started the whole PMRC cancel culture thing to begin with.
Yeah. No, there was a great response on the Twatterverse. This one person wrote, Gen X is trending because Fox News thinks we are the ones who can kill cancel culture. And a little asterisk says, laughs and Two Live Crew, NWA and Sinead O'Connor.
It says that I like this one. This was a tweet. It's somebody said Gen X has the ability, just not the will, to save the world from cancel culture. We live through PC culture, metal canned pudding, garden hose drinking, and keys around our necks. We just don't care.
Yeah.
Facts.
Let's see. This was another one. It says, apparently Gen X has been summoned to end cancel culture, but here's the thing about us. We don't answer to anyone.
Yep. If there's one thing, if there's one thing Gen X loves, it's being told what, you know, they are and what they should do, right? Because historically, that's us.
Right. And let's see. Do you remember the time that that baby boomers tried to cancel Gen X heavy metal albums? And it's a picture of Dee Snider fucking testifying in front of Congress. Yep. And then, of course, I like this one. It says, it's cute they think that we will stop something we didn't even start. Gen X latchkey kids have spent our whole fucking lives being canceled and ignored. Consequence culture is for you to deal with. We're good over here doing our homework and making ourselves a snack.
That's so true. That's some truth right there.
I felt that one. And this one says, Gen X is trending. This has to be the first time anyone's noticed us at all.
Yep. We've just been so good at being under the radar and just...
Well, but I mean, we were the generation that both parents worked for fill in the blank reason, right? It was mom and dad are yuppies and they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. So they need two jobs to afford two Beamers, or mom and dad both work because the poverty level, we can't afford to live where we're at, or mom and dad both work because mom and dad aren't fucking together anymore. Like that was our life. I remember I told my kids, I was in second grade and my sister was in she was in fourth grade, and we took the bus, like not even the school bus, like the rough, tough and dirty public transportation bus. We had no bus pass. Dad just left bus money out on the frick, because he went to work before we got to school. So we got ourselves ready, we got on the bus, we went to school. We got out of school, we got back on the bus, and we rode a public bus home. And I'm not even talking like down the block. I'm talking about completely across town, because we went to a private school. So our school wasn't anywhere near our home.
Right.
And then when we got home, it was, okay, you know, go to the fridge, make yourself a snack, and sit down and do your homework. And then at sometime around 5 or 6, mom and dad will be home to either order a pizza or heat up some fucking Hot Pockets. And I'm like, that's kind of how we all grew up. Latchkey kids, you know. We had, dude, everything I learned about how to behave, you know, I learned from the ABC After School Specials. And,
yeah.
And on very special episodes of Different Strokes and Facts of Life.
They would always tease that. Next on a very special,
episode. Very special episode.
Y'all remember that episode of Different Strokes where Dudley went and got molested by the bike shop repair guy and Arnold just fucking left his ass there?
He just fucking left him.
Wait, what?
Every fucking kid for themselves.
I thought you were joking.
No. That was a very special episode of Different Strokes.
Yeah.
There was this like chomo perv pedophile that owned a bike shop, and Arnold and Dudley were in the bike shop, and freaking he started to get like, he started to hit on the kids, and Arnold fucking boned out Chewy and left Dudley there all by himself to get fucking kid touched.
Holy shit. I must have missed that one.
Yeah.
No.
But like those were, I mean, that was, you know, Happy Days and fucking Different Strokes. And, you know, and as a result, I honestly will tell you, I thought that children being left with, you know, having their parents die and being left to be raised by families of a different race was going to be a much bigger problem than it actually turned out to be. I mean, how many shows were those?
Yeah, it was like, you thought that was
a lot.
Punky Brewster, Webster, fucking Different Strokes. But yeah. I mean, like, it was like all over the place. But
what was the show with the silver spoon? Did we ever see his parents?
His dad was rich.
Yeah, but was he ever in the show? I don't recall ever seeing him.
His dad was the rich guy. And then what happened was he was being raised by his mom because his dad didn't want nothing to do with him, or his dad didn't know he existed. And then mom died. So mom sent him to live with his rich dad who owned a toy company.
Yeah. I just remember wanting my own train to ride through the house.
Oh, I just wanted that red car bed.
Yes.
Yeah, the race car bed?
Yep.
Who didn't want that, right?
Forget about it.
But the baby boomers and the millennials are telling us to pick a side in their little blood feud. And honestly, yeah. I mean, Gen X is going, oh, now you care.
Yeah, no, Gen X is, we're over here on the sideline going, we're old enough to remember that you boomers are the ones who created all that you hate now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You all started it.
Yeah. Tipper fucking Gore and the PMRC. Tipper
fucking Gore. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Al Gore's wife, by the way, people.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a Republican or a Democrat thing. It was a both of them thing. It was like they were trying to, let's see, what did they try to cancel? They tried to cancel D&D.
Yep.
They tried to cancel. So Dungeons and Dragons, that we were all told that Dungeons and Dragons was Satan worshiping witchcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
You're training.
Casting.
Right. Yeah, it's the same shit like when the Harry Potter books came out more recently. It was the same diatribe, the same thing.
They tried to tell us that KISS stood for Knights in Satan's Service.
Yep.
Let's see, what else did they try to do? Two Live Crew.
Two Live Crew, NWA.
And admittedly, I mean, you know, Pop That Coochie isn't exactly the classiest of songs.
Right, right.
But,
hey,
you know why?
I think they went after everything. If there was even like explicit lyrics, if there was anything that we were actively saying or being yelled at by our parents in the song, it was, oh, we got to put a warning label on here.
I think I just had an epiphany.
Uh-oh.
Go. Hit me.
I think that the early days of baby boomer cancel culture, when they were trying to get rid of Dungeons and Dragons and putting the explicit lyrics labels on all of our albums, it was because they were so busy working and leaving us at home alone with our metal pudding cups and our, you know, latchkeys that they couldn't be bothered to actually take an interest in what we were doing at all to find out what the music actually sounded like or what Dungeons and Dragons actually was. So they were just falling into the trap of, well, I don't know what it is, but I heard it's bad, so we have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it was, it's just, I mean, another symptom.
Shit was happening so bad.
Yeah. It's just this another symptom of them not being able to take the time to actually be involved in our lives.
Right. And it wasn't all of them, because my parents were cool as hell about that stuff. That was not like
an issue. Well, your parents were married and actively involved in your life.
That's true.
You were an anomaly.
Yes.
Like, I mean, think about it. How many of your friends that we're... How many? Not mine.
The pause and me thinking, I'm trying to remember how many friends I had like me that had what you would call a whole family unit that had, you know, that parents, their parents that were still together. Yeah.
Right. And took an active interest in their lives.
Correct. Correct. And I'm having a really hard time with that list coming up with somebody.
Right. Yeah. It's you know, I wasn't, my parents got divorced when I was 7, you know, it was funny. I remember the year that I hit my, wedding, the year that my wedding anniversary was one more anniversary past what my parents made it to. I high-fived my wife. I was like, yeah,
we did it. Broke that curse.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of funny. My dad is on his third marriage, you know, cause cops, and this one will take, right? But here's the deal. Check this out. So I've been married to my wife longer than my dad was married to my mom. I've been married to my wife longer than my dad was married to his second wife. And I got married 6 months before my dad married his third wife, which means that no matter what my dad does, I will always have been married longer than him.
Yep.
All right. Strong work, like, sir.
Hey, Dad, do you need some marriage advice?
No.
Yo. I double dog dare you to pull that one out.
Ooh, shots fired.
Yeah.
I you know, it was an interesting thing because I didn't realize how much our generation was like, fuck you people, until somebody called us out for not being involved. And every single person in my generation that sees these memes and sees this response is like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
It was
straight out.
Yeah.
Straight out. Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, I always tell people, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't even like it when my dryer tells me to clean out the lint trap. Fuck you, dryer. You work for me. You know, you know,
I was a little off topic, but topic adjacent. I was testing out a rigged fax machine at work today to send out to a client, and I'm messing with it. And it popped up on the display. It said, wait a minute. And I swear, you can ask anybody in that room. I was like, fuck you. Who are you talking to, fax machine? I unplugged it and walked away.
Don't you talk to me like that.
You talk to me like that. You work for me.
But here's the thing. Like, I would love to stop cancel culture. I really would. Like,
yeah.
I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. I think it's, you know, cancel culture doesn't allow anybody to grow. It doesn't allow for forgiveness. It doesn't allow for redemption. I mean, like, fucking, if cancel culture were a thing, then Luke Skywalker would never have reconciled with his father in that emotional moment on the Death Star when he took off his helmet so he could look on him with his own eyes. You know, he'd be like, oh, he's on the dark side now. I got to cancel that motherfucker. Fuck Darth Vader, you know?
Right.
Permanently. Cancel him permanently.
Right. Marco, I grew up around your folks and they were always busy. Your dad was always out of the country working.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom had to juggle basically being a single mom with working.
And then made it official.
Yeah, right. And so it was you and your older brother and your younger sister. And then
And fuck that guy.
Yeah, right.
No love loss there.
Right.
Love you, sis. Fuck that guy.
And for me, I had my brother and my sister. My brother was 8 years older. My brother is 8 years older than me. My sister's 2 years older than me. So I was the baby of the family. But, you know, my brother babysat. You know, my mom was gone. My dad was gone. My brother was fucking 15, 16 years old, had to care for two kids.
Yeah.
You know, and
And then he took off. And then my dad hired a housekeeper to take care of us, who didn't speak a word of English and had no papers to be in this country. But, you know, fuck it. Trust her with your two kids. And she was a sweet woman, you know, and I know basic, like all the basic Spanish that I knew when I met you, Marco, came from her. So
I know you reminded me all the time.
I was like, slow down. I can't do it that fast.
Wait, are you still talking about Spanish?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Where's our bell? Ding.
I keep forgetting to bring one home.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I have a sister who's 5 years younger than me. So it was, I forget who got home. No, I would typically get home first from school. And then she would get home and it was just me and her. And she can tell you, I'm sure, you know, she's told you some of the horror stories of the dumb shit I would, you know, do to her. Like,
right.
You know, she's picking on the younger sister. But for the most part, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, abusive at all the time. But it was just the two of us.
Even you, your parents were married, and yet they both worked. And you, when you came home to school to an empty house.
Yeah, exactly. And we took care of ourselves. And
right. And then like, okay, now you're 18. Go to college. Bye.
Yeah. We took care of ourselves without cell phones, without tablets, the interwebs, social media, any of that stuff. We had these things called books back in the day.
Right.
And you would read that.
And the outside.
And the outside, yeah.
You know,
friends, and actual friends that we saw physically, on daily.
Yeah.
Not type. And I know this guy from Malaysia.
See, that's why I think Stranger Things was so popular, too, is because people watched those four little fuckers riding around on their bikes till the streetlights came on. And that was like, you know, the Goonies. And I mean, granted, we didn't, you know, actually go find a sunken treasure ship in a cave or anything, but God damn it, we tried.
Yeah. I'm going to say not yet. There's still time.
Okay. Here, topic adjacent. You want to know a little fun fact that'll make you mad? Two little fun
facts.
Well,
no. Why would it? Wait, you can't use the words fun fact and mad in the same sentence. How does that work? Oh,
so, fun fact number one. Sean Astin got to keep the Goonies map when the film wrapped. Right,
that's dope.
Okay.
And his mom, Patty Duke, cleaned his room, thought it was trash, and threw it away.
Oh no.
Damn.
Yeah,
for real. And then fun fact number two that also make you mad, the pirate ship that they built for that movie, when the kids come out the water slides and come out of the water, Richard Donner had that set built in secret and would not allow the kids on the set until it was finished. Right. So when they come up out of the water and see that ship for the first time, that's really the first time they're seeing the set. Like, it was a cool moment. Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then
that's
pretty
cool.
Yeah. But then when they wrapped filming, the production company went, that's a big fucking pirate ship. What the fuck are we going to do with that pirate ship? Anybody know anybody? I'll tell you what. Anybody that wants it, you can have it. All you got to do is haul it away.
Damn. And
nobody wanted it. So they fucking chopped it up and turned it into firewood.
Fucking call Disneyland.
Right?
Call Disney.
I'm like, the fucking pirate ship from Goonies was up for grab, bro.
Yeah, but where are you going to put it?
I'll figure it out.
I mean, at that point, our parents were coming home to a giant pirate ship in the backyard.
That's right.
I don't know how
how pissed they got when we just moved the furniture out of the house to practice?
Well, they should have been around more then.
Right.
That's what you get for going out of town on the regular.
Put it back.
That was all he said.
Put it back. That's it. Put it back. And then immediately to the room.
Well, I don't know where else we were going to have band practice.
Yeah.
The drum set wouldn't fit in your room.
No.
And we weren't going to move your furniture out.
Fuck that. Way more room in the living room.
Oh, God. I like I said, I want to do something about cancel culture because I hate it. I think it's stupid. But the way I want to deal with cancel culture is whenever I meet somebody who participates in cancel culture, just punch them in the face. That's how I want to handle it, right?
Right. And I wish that was more socially acceptable. That's still one of my favorite quotes on the interwebs, that I think it gets credited to Tyson, but I don't know if he actually said it.
Oh, he did actually say it.
Oh, he did actually say that? Okay, yeah. Then I like Mike Tyson even more, but that is just amazing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I would just assume everybody heard it.
No, you have to.
I might butcher this. Y'all have gotten way too comfortable with disrespecting somebody without getting punched in the face for it. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
You paraphrased terribly. Paraphrased.
Well, the sentiment was there.
And you didn't even do the Mike Tyson voice.
That's ridiculous.
Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yep. Actually, Muhammad Ali said that, I think.
Yeah.
It's Tyson right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And Tyson actually has been interviewed about that quote. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can be MMA all day. You could be Chuck Liddell. You could be Benny the Jet or Kidez. You could be all those fools. You could be Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee. If Mike Tyson hits you.
Oh, you're going down. You're getting hurt.
It's you're done.
Like, but would you take one shot from him now?
No.
You wouldn't spar with him?
No.
You see the fucking training video of that last fight that he did?
Mm-mm. No. I don't know. I think it'd be fun just to say that you... I mean, like, look, I have no illusions of grandeur, but that would be kind of a little fun thing to have in your little, check this out box that, you know, I sparred with Mike Tyson. Yeah, I got knocked out.
You know what?
But I sparred with Mike Tyson.
Surviving a lion attack would be cool to put on your fucking resume too. And I don't want to have that happen. I will tell you right now, I worked with a guy who was on a SWAT team and we lived in an area. You guys have heard of the Pit?
Yeah.
So the Pit was a mile and a half from my house. And John Hackelman was there, you know, all the time. Chuck was a local, you know, guy. He was a bouncer at all of our bars before he became anybody. And I remember one time he backspin kicked. There was a drunk ass cop. I won't say what department he worked for, but the initials are CHP. And he got drunk at a bar, and Chuck was a bouncer, and the story's fairly legendary. That Chuck basically said, you need to leave. And this cop, like, don't you know who I am? And Chuck's like, I don't give a fuck who you are. He puts his hands on him. So the guy backs up and fucking draws his gun. Drunk.
What?
Draws his gun. And Chuck fucking backspin kicks the gun right the fuck out of his hand.
Oh, man.
Right.
First of all, why are you even carrying a gun if you're at a bar drinking?
Well, because there's a lot of stupid cops.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, you shouldn't be carrying when you're drinking, but
no.
That's a whole other story. Chuck invited Chuck and John invited the SWAT team to come do some physical fitness use of force training at the Pit. And part of that was Chuck was there and said, hey, you guys want to spar? And they were like, okay.
Oh, I would have said yes in a heartbeat. That'd be so fun.
So Chuck put on the gloves and they put on gloves and headgear.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, of course.
And they sparred with Chuck and Chuck's like, okay, I'm going to go half speed. And they're like, okay. And my buddy took a fucking haymaker from Chuck Liddell at half speed and said it was like getting kicked in the head by a fucking mule.
I'm sure.
It's a big boy.
So if
he smells good though, just so you know.
I don't even want to know how you know that.
He was the shop. He was at work.
I know.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't smell him.
Well, yeah, he was in the sales area there and right next to me and said hi and he walked right by me and I was like, Yeah, he had a very pleasant cologne on. I'm just saying this guy smells good.
Hey. I'm just saying that if you're a guy and another guy can smell you without getting up in your business, you put on too much cologne.
No, he was literally like
Armenian.
I'm
just saying.
We right. literally brushed each other as he walked by. I mean, I was right
oh,
there.
Oh, now you're brushing his hair and smelling him?
No, I could have. If I would have leaned over, I could have given him a little peck on the cheek. Then I probably would have got that sparring Ooh. Session that I wanted.
Right? Then you would have gotten
the That would have been impromptu.
That would very, very impromptu.
but not at half speed. So here's the thing. If Chuck Liddell hits half speed as hard as a mule kick, I can only imagine what a full force punch from Mike fucking Tyson would feel like.
But to be fair, has your friend been kicked in the head by a mule? Because where's the point of reference for that? I mean, we can all imagine what that's like.
I think that's the point, is like, I've seen mule kick videos.
Yeah, which are hilarious. Right.
And
yes,
I can imagine the kind of force contained in that kick.
By the way, I think the horse biting videos are even funnier. Mitsaka guy, if you haven't had the opportunity to check out fucking horses randomly biting people,
yes,
by all means, indulge.
But that rabbit trail took us way the hell off course. It's true. Mike Tyson said, have a plan until you get punched in the face, right?
Oh, yeah. Back to that, yeah.
And it's true. There used to be a time, and I've spoke to somebody who I think is right on the bubble of Gen X. So I'm towards the tail end.
Wait a minute. Hold it. You think that's the quote I was saying?
Yeah.
No, it's the quote that I pretty much almost got it verbatim, where he said that there's a quote that's attributed to Mike Tyson, where he says that the problem with social media is y'all have been getting way too comfortable with disrespecting somebody without getting punched in the face. Because he was referring to like keyboard warriors.
He's right. And he said this wasn't that long ago.
Well, then that's a new quote. I was referring to the legendary quote, but I like that one even better.
Yeah. No, I thought we were talking about a different quote. That's what I just now realized that you thought that I butchered it that bad. No,
that's what I mean.
That bad. No.
But there was a time where if you spoke out of turn to the wrong person, you were going to get fucking wrapped in the mouth.
Yeah.
Listen, that's part of fuck around and find out.
Yep.
Yes.
Part of fuck around, like, for listeners, for your listeners, I think fuck around and find out means that basically just act a fool where you shouldn't be acting a fool, and then you're going to find out some shit. It very much also means run your fucking mouth to the wrong motherfucker, and you're going to get taught a fucking lesson. You're going to find the fuck out.
Because nowadays you'll see some of these videos where there's like somebody going, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to hit me? Fine. Hit me, motherfucker. Hit me then. Hit me.
Crack.
Like, yeah. If you say that to somebody like one of the three of us, hit me, I'm fucking swinging. You just asked to be hit, and I will oblige.
Hey, well, and when the cops come on, we say, I had permission.
Yeah, he told me to hit him.
I was just going to ask. I'm like, what is the legality behind somebody openly inviting you to hit them?
I mean, there's a thing called mutual...
Let me rephrase this. What do I got to say?
After this happens, what do I have to say to not get in trouble?
Let me fast forward. So once this happens, because now we're talking about... So what is the verbiage that I need to be using in order to explain my situation?
So nothing in the law says that you got to get swung on first, right? Nothing in the law says that you got to get swung on first to defend yourself.
Got it.
I'll give you the California explanation because it's the only law I can really speak to with some expertise. Sure. There's what we call, the Penal Code Section 415. You say, oh, you're going to a 415. And 415 just means a disturbance, right? Disturbing the peace, right? Whenever you hear, oh, disturbing the peace. But there are actually three different categories of disturbing the peace, right? One is actual making a noise or being a nuisance that's loud enough to bother the average person to the point where they're like fucking playing
like somebody running down the middle of Reseda Boulevard, butt ass naked, high on acid.
That's so a decent exposure as well. So
so drunken roach. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, so you're playing your stereo at full volume at 2 a.m. and that's disturbing the peace.
That's asshole Thomas, right? 17. Go ahead. Right.
Then you got fighting, right? Disturbing the peace, mutual combat. Like you know, two people fighting, can both people can get arrested for disturbing the peace because they're fighting. Now you could also say, "Fuck it, it's mutual."
That's random Matt on Santa Monica Boulevard. Carry on.
But there is my favorite section of disturbing the peace, 415 of the Penal Code, which is the use of words likely to provoke an immediate and violent reaction.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Like a racial slur, like a racial slur or something, or just any words.
Well, it doesn't define them. So the penal code literally says, I was offended,
so I hit him, officer.
It's not even offended. It's
okay.
Like I mean, let's face it.
His words incited me to swing.
I was threatened by his words?
Okay, so 415, any of the following persons shall be punished by imprisonment in the county jail for a period of not more than 90 days, a fine of not more than $400, or both such fine and imprisonment. Parenthetical one, any person who unlawfully fights in a public place or challenges another person to fight in a public place. Parenthetical two, any person who maliciously and willfully disturbs another person by loud or unreasonable noise. Parenthetical three, any person who uses offensive words in a public place which are inherently likely to provoke an immediate violent reaction.
Like, so, hit me.
You call my mom a whore, and I'm going to knock your fucking dick in the dirt.
And I won't get in trouble?
Well, it's 415.3. You say, hey, words likely to provoke an immediate violent reaction. I want you to arrest him. Now, you private person's arrest. You say, take him into custody. And they're legally bound to take him into custody, right?
And this is after you assaulted him?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Yeah, he's going to press charges for battery.
Okay.
Marco, I'll send you the section, Marco. You don't have to take notes.
I appreciate you.
Also, but you're in Texas, so we're going to have to figure out what the Texas equivalent is.
I'll be in LA next weekend.
Oh, that's true. So you're just planning ahead, is what you're saying.
We got a big weekend planned.
Just thinking ahead. That's all.
Yeah. So,
There's no mutual combat in California, right?
Well, so there is and there isn't. Like,
but not like there is in like freaking Washington, where you can basically call somebody out and you both agree, yeah, we're gonna fight, and then the cops will pretty much literally stand there and watch you guys fight just to make sure one doesn't kill the other.
If you're fighting,
it's like
in
hockey
public,
refs.
Right. It's like hockey refs. Yes, exactly.
That's fantastic. I wish it was the hockey rules. We're going to let them go until they hit the ground.
As soon as they get to a point where you see that somebody's going to go down and the fight's one person's getting an advantage over the other, you break them up and then put them each in the box for 5 minutes and then they go free. hockey rules really is what we need in life. We need a penalty box in life, really. But that was the thing. Like, we grew up with, like, you could talk shit, but only to a certain extent and only to people you knew. You know, if you talk shit to a stranger, it was talk shit, get hit. That was it.
Yeah.
And, that's being raised like that. Now you got then all of a sudden it was, bullying and this, that, and the other thing. So millennials, I really think what we need to do is millennials. Here's my advice to you. Okay.
Well, even more than what's after the millennials, because millennials are like
Generation Z.
There's congressmen that are millennials. Millennials are in their 30s and shit right now.
Well, Gen Z is getting raised by Gen X, and Gen Z is rad.
Right.
Gen Z is going to be rad because they're more of a traditional, like they were raised by, like my kids are Gen Z, and our buddy Scott, who does our Q stuff for us and is our Q correspondent to the Q world, his kids are Gen Z. And essentially, Gen Z kids are being taught, you don't get a fucking trophy just for showing up, asshole. That was stupid. Those fucking millennial dick bags, they got those. You don't get those. You know, there's a little bit more of a return to traditional values. So I will speak to my Gen Z, but to my millennials especially, and say, millennials, go rent the movie Fight Club. And then go get in a fight.
Yeah.
Don't go looking to kick somebody's ass for no reason. I mean, if something happens and you're offended, call that person out and say, yo, motherfucker, don't talk like that. And when they say, what are you going to do about it? Wrap them in the fucking mouth. And here's the thing. They're going to fight you back. And in this fight, you're going to get hit in the face. When you get hit in the face, you learn an important lesson that you talk shit, get hit. I was going to say actions have consequences, but that'll work.
Yeah.
And B, you're going to survive. You'll be okay.
Right. Right.
There are worse things in life than getting your fucking feelings hurt. And if you can't survive somebody hurting your fucking feelings, stand by to stand the fuck by, because
you're in for a long, rocky road.
Yeah,
the rest of your life is going to be fucking peaches and cream at that point.
Right. And I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
It's bumps and bruises. It's part of bumps and bruises. You know what I'm saying? It's like it to an extent, it shapes. It's part of what shapes you for who you are. You know, and right. It's how you, you know, as they say, you know, metal sharpens metal, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, it's like, and that's the only way you're going to get tougher is by being put in tougher situations and rising up to those challenges. And I'm talking about emotional challenges. I'm not talking about physical challenges. We're not talking about fucking go train fucking, you know, make MMA or go train, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and start wrapping people up like fucking pretzels everywhere you fucking go for shits and giggles.
No, we're not. It's not about going out and being a violent fucking asshole.
But you learn a lot about yourself when you're in those situations.
Yeah, but it's about building tougher skin. You know, it's about getting tougher skin and understanding what hill to die on and what is actually important, what is not. And, you know, when somebody is essentially doing the giant fucking feather out peacock maneuver because they recognize that they themselves are, you know, are trying to hide insecurity or weakness or something, or, you know, pointing out somebody else's faults because they have faults of their own that they want to hide.
Right.
That's the only way you're going to learn that is to be put into situations, take a fucking deep breath, step back, analyze, and then fucking react accordingly.
Correct. And
we got away from taking a step back. Everything now is like direct fucking emotions. You know what I'm saying? It's like pulling the fucking trigger, and fire from both barrels. It's like something happens, boom, both fucking barrels go off.
Well, no,
go,
it's,
oh,
it's,
oh, yeah. Oh, oh, it's, well, it's, I've already it's, done this.
It's ready, you fire, know, aim. That's what it is.
This is so fucking true, though. It's just fucking sending it and then asking questions later. It's like, boom, I'm offended. And holy shit, I put it out there. And then people are like, yeah, he's offended. They're fucking offended. And you're like, wait. Do you even know what the fuck you're offended for? Like, what is it you're offended for? Oh, because they said this. Okay, no, take a step back, take a deep fucking breath, and tell me, like, what about it actually are you allowing this? I mean, actions is different than we're talking about words and verbiage and running your fucking, and just somebody running their fucking mouth. Now, somebody coming up to you randomly and hitting you or striking you and then saying, you know, a racial something or other, then, you know, that's a whole different fucking story. But we're talking about like actual being butthurt over words.
Yeah. If,
you know,
yeah, there's no,
and I mean, right away, I mean, hearing something over and over again is going to fucking, you know, it's going to drain you. I understand that. I understand that, you know, it's happened to me, but again, you have to be willing to adapt. You have to be willing to overcome. You have to be willing to, you know. What are you going to say, Thomas?
No, I'm listening. I was just thinking, these people haven't heard the response. So what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what?
Oh, I got offended. So what? Who the fuck are you? What? At what point do I have to give a shit if you're offended or not? You're not my friend. You know, it, big fucking deal.
Yeah. You just got to take the old school Dennis Leary approach. Shut the fuck up. Next.
Get a fucking helmet.
Life sucks. Yeah, like, get a fucking helmet. Yep.
God, we need the philosopher Dennis Leary back. And George Carlin. Gone.
Yeah. But George Carlin more, because Dennis Leary, he just, what happened to him? He stopped smoking and drinking and then just like.
He mellowed out.
He mellowed the fuck out.
Well, he was our Gen X, you know, warrior poet. And he just said, fuck it all, just like we did.
Yep. like,
I'm done being angry.
Yeah. I'm going to make a few mil in these movies and this TV show and get the fuck out.
I just like, I want to have a seminar, right? And I want to invite nothing but like any, first of all, anybody that uses a pronoun, like if you're a person who has a preferred pronoun rather than a standard pronoun, you're invited to my seminar. If you're a person who thinks that they have a right not to be offended by people they don't even know on the internet, you're invited to my seminar. If you're, I'm just going to start inviting all these people to my seminar. And then in the seminar, I'm going to say, okay, we're locking the doors. We're locking you all in. We're taking.
Oh, you're going to lose half the crowd right there.
No, they're already locked in. They just didn't know it. I'm telling them.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to have a cell phone jammer in the room so they can't fucking get any internet signal, can't get any cell phone signal. And then.
This sounds borderline illegal, but I'm with it so far.
it sounds like a night at Bill Cosby's house.
They sign a disclaimer form. They sign an insurance waiver. It's fine.
Why, yes, I would love another drink, Mr. Cosby.
And then I'm going to spend the next six pudding hours.
Yeah, like another pudding pop, Mr. Cosby.
This one tastes funny. I'm gonna spend the next 6 hours showing them nothing but Andrew Dice Clay, Sam Kinison, Dennis Leary,
yep,
Lenny Bruce, Red Fox, Richard Pryor.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna show them and I'm gonna tell them. Now you have to sit through all this and you have to be uncomfortable. And then the lesson we're gonna learn is that at some point you're going to start laughing. And then when we're done, I'm going to give you back your cell phones and unlock the doors and you'll still be alive. The world will still exist and nothing will have changed in your life. 6 hours of nothing but offensive jokes will have done literally zero to you except taking 6 hours away.
Yeah. Make a prediction about how that would start out. Like I'd say the first hour, everybody would be tight-lipped because nobody's going to want to be the first person to laugh at a racially charged joke.
Right.
Or anything like that. And everybody's going to be like, you know, so like Judgy McJudgerton with everybody and who's going to be the first one to laugh. And then like one person will do it and there'll be that judgment like, oh, I can't believe you laughed at that. And then somebody else, eventually it's just going to wear you down. It's going to be like the Chinese water torture and just ding, ding, ding. And then eventually they'll all start laughing.
Well, I'm sorry. As soon as you get to the joke about Sam Kinison feeling that being sodomized by a necrophiliac in the morgue is the ultimate insult.
I forgot about that fucking joke.
Oh, I'm dead. I lived a good life. I'm finally at peace. Everything's fine. Oh, what's happening? Oh, no. No. Hell, they wouldn't even make it through Andrew Dice Clay's nursery rhymes.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No, hell no.
Little boy blue. Hey, you needed the money, all right? Money, right?
Was it Jack and Jill? Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Jack and Jill. He was with a buck and a quarter. Water. Jill came down with 250. That fucking whore.
I like the little Miss Muffet sat in her tuffet eating her curds and whey. When along came a spider and sat down beside her and said, hey, what's in the bowl, bitch?
Oh, my God.
That's another one that changed. That got like totally went clean for a while, right? But then he got back to the dirty jokes or where is he now?
Well, he had to. He got completely blacklisted.
Yeah. Oh, you can't say that anymore.
He just
got completely darklisted.
No way. I can't say that.
He got completely negative spaced.
Listed. Use the proper terminology that we're talking about, Marco.
He got
canceled. Asked,
yes.
He got asked out. He got
canceled.
No, he got asked out.
Anyway. Here's the thing. Neither the millennials nor the boomers really want Gen X to get involved.
You don't want this.
You don't want this. Because we're bringing every fucking Pollock joke, every fucking. We're bringing every schoolyard fight with the bully. We're bringing every fucking after school special. Oh, we're bringing every fucking angsty fucking punk rock song. We're bringing all that shit with us. Oh yeah!
Just leave us alone. Like, just keep your beef with each other. Millennials keep beefing with the boomers. Boomers keep beefing with the millennials. We're just sitting back.
I'm thinking about the song "Asshole." We're gonna show up in the old 1967 color Cadillac Eldorado with a whale skin hubcap.
I got a box of Eskimo pies.
chomping on fucking McDonald's in the old fucking
styrofoam container.
Oh, boys, we just figured out how we're closing
fucking
this down show.
Fucking greaseball burgers.
Yes, that's playing right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
there it is.
I'm just there a regular Joe with a regular,
with a regular job.
I'm your average white suburbanite.
I like
football
and porno and books about war.
Oh, I'm gonna have to watch that.
Where
again.
Are you, Dennis Leary, when we need you most? Like,
it's like a battle cry. It's like this year's battle cry for.
I'm watching that Gen-Xers. This weekend.
Hell yeah! No cure for cancer, boys.
No cure for cancer. I'm having some bourbon.
That's the homework. Everybody, listen to the show. If you haven't seen Dennis Leary's No Cure for Cancer,
it is a must.
It is a.
It's got to be streaming somewhere.
Yeah. It. Well, maybe it's
or can- is it?
Maybe yeah, it's canceled. Who knows?
Let's look into that.
You gotta be able to catch at least excerpts of it on YouTube. You know, it may take you a little bit to kind of get through it. You just gotta be at least.
I just love when he puts the beer and the cigarette on the fucking bench. He's like, all I need is him and him, you and you. Maybe your cousin Coffee comes over on the weekends, but no. Hey, what was it? We didn't go to therapy in the 70s. You got smacked and then you had to go out and mow the lawn while you were crying.
No shit. Yep.
That was therapy for you.
Yep.
Well, the Leary kid's in therapy again. His lawn looks fucking beautiful. Oh, God. Well, Dennis Leary, where are you when we need you? I implore you.
On Netflix.
Good. So, No Cure for Cancer. Make sure that is the fucking unedited version. And enjoy... Yeah, all
the best of, hour of your day will
it
come
is,
for watching
it is
this.
The greatest.
I okay, hold on. I have homework. I have homework for our listeners.
Okay,
we just gave them homework.
No.
More homework.
This is the extra credit.
This is extra credit.
Okay.
If you have a child, nephew, a younger friend, if you're one of our younger listeners, grab a friend with you. Don't watch this shit alone.
No, have somebody.
I need you. Yes. We need you. We need you to actively to help us shape this generation. We need you to grab somebody, grab a buddy, even if they haven't seen it in a long, long time. Bring this shit back, and especially if you can grab somebody younger than you that has not seen this or has not had a chance to see this.
Fuck the restrictions. Let's do what we used to do. Call like six of your best buddies over, fucking grab some beers, pop some popcorn, and sit down and just spend 90 minutes watching one of the funniest fucking stand-up routines you'll ever see in your life. And then my goal is to get you to actually go out and repeat some of the shit you just heard in public.
Yeah.
Oh man, I think if there was like a meeting of no ma'am, you know what I'm saying? Like old school.
Yes, married with children.
The old school no ma'am. Yep.
Well, boys, I think we didn't solve anything.
No, nothing. We never will.
We solved nothing. But we did put the millennials and the baby boomers on notice that
you don't want this.
Once you get us involved, you won't like the outcome.
No.
That is surgery with a broadsword.
Yeah, we're bringing a whole bag of you fucking asked for
fuck
this
all
shit.
Y'all mm-hmm. fuck all y'all a whole bag of fuck all y'all mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we're gonna bring our Gen Z kids with us, and when you're on the ground bleeding, I'm gonna let them get their hits in too.
there you go
trade them up, right? On that note, Matt, how can people follow us?
They can follow us on all the aforementioned socials, the Gram and Facebook at Locker Room Podcast. You can reach us on email at lockerroommailbag@gmail.com. I do not have that damn phone number handy because I am ill-prepared this evening. So if anybody else wants to count that one out,
our phone area code is 626.
There he is.
692-5122.
Oh, so you only knew the 626 part?
Operator standing by.
We'll see you in the I'm Kathy, your time life operator.
Hello.
I hope you're doing well, Kathy.
Hello, and welcome to Locker Room, a service of Los Angeles Time and 95.5 KLOS. For shit talking, press one.
We'll see you there.
A 1967 Cadillac Eldorado convertible, hot pink with whale skin hubcaps and all leather cow interior and big brown baby seal eyes for headlights. Yeah! And I'm gonna drive around in that baby at 115 miles per hour, getting 1 mile per gallon, sucking down quarter pound of cheeseburgers from McDonald's in the old-fashioned non-biodegradable styrofoam containers. And when I'm done sucking down those greaseball burgers, I'm gonna wipe my mouth with the American flag, and then I'm gonna toss the styrofoam containers right out the side, and there ain't a goddamn thing anybody can do about it. You know why? Because we got the bomb, that's why. Two words, nuclear fucking weapons, okay? Russia, Germany, Romania, they can have all the democracy they want. They can have a big democracy cakewalk right through the middle of Tiananmen Square, and it won't make a lick of difference because we got the bombs, okay? John Wayne's not dead. He's frozen. And as soon as we find a cure for cancer, we're going to thaw out the Duke, and he's going to be pretty pissed off. You know why? Have you ever taken a cold shower? We'll multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off the Duke's going to be. I'm going to get the Duke and John Cassavetes and Lee Marvin and Sam Peckinpah and a case of whiskey and drive down to Texas.
You know, you really are an asshole.
Why don't you just shut up and sing the song, pal? I'm an asshole.
We did need to wrap.
Oh,
it up.
I thought he wanted. No. I thought he wanted us to keep going. Okay, so you can extend.
No,
it out.
I totally forgot. So my bad. But side note, Marco.
Yeah.
I'll figure out something for your little SKS stripper clip situation tomorrow. I was just fucking slammed today.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay. But you're going wild boar hunting, yeah.
Yeah.
And those stripper clips hold like what, 10 rounds a piece?
10 rounds.
The magazine, the stripper clip, it's a whole thing. Okay, let me get it. Hold on. There's too much. Let me sum up. Basically, as you guys know from us talking before in the locker room podcast, is we are house divided as far as like I'm allowed to have what I have, but purchasing more in the way of firearms, right?
You've already capped. You're capped out at
Of what I have. Now I can exchange, for example, I can sell something and buy something else. So what I wanted to do, and again, getting a little something and making my little bonus, my little stimulus, you know, my little buy something for myself at this time,
right.
Go further as opposed to trying to buy a new piece, like sell the pistol that I have now and get something else.
You're just going
to
update the SKS.
Yeah. Cause it really, honestly, it needs it anyways. And it's got really, really good reviews. So that's why I wanted to get one of those furniture kits in it. And one of the things about the furniture kits is that, you can do, the magazine, the actual magazine, it actually comes with magazines that you can purchase in either a 10 round, 20 round or 30 round that actually, slap in.
Right.
Or I already have a 30 round magazine that goes on the standard non-modified SKS.
Okay.
Right. So I already own one of those. But I was one of the reasons I was talking to Thomas about it earlier or a couple of days ago to see if he knew somebody for the actual furniture kit itself.
No.
So that's why
my thing was just that you probably should only need about two rounds when you go out for that big hunting instead of
because I was looking at the I found some pouches online that are made for that hold three loaded stripper clips for the SKS per pouch, and I'm thinking
three pouches, three 30, stripper clips.
That's 90 fucking rounds. I'm like, how many pigs is this guy gonna fucking shoot? No. Like, are you guys just going out in the whole fucking herd? Like, what's going on here?
Well, you guys know what vegetarian means.
What?
It's an old Native American word for shitty hunter.
No, I'm actually looking, I'm really fucking looking forward to this, but as you guys know, my wife was good. My wife's a chef, and she gave me like basically she's like, yeah, I think it's a great idea because they are a nuisance. You go up to these ranches where there are nuisance, you know.
Yeah, and you have pork for a year.
Yeah, essentially, she's like, you know, take down one. She told me, don't get crazy. You know, just field trip right there and then, and just bring one or two home.
You take what you're going to eat,
and she'll process it. She's like, I can process it down, no problem.
Take the whole hog, take the whole boar, take it home, take it to a fucking butcher, and have it actually butchered, and you will eat. You have pork for a year. You can have sausage made. You know, bacon.
There's actually one right up the street from here. But as far as Jules wants to process it down. And remember, that's one of the things that she was taught in school. She brought in full.
She doesn't want to clean. You know. She wants you to clean it, right?
Yeah, she wants
you
to
bring it. So you'll skin it and dress it. Yeah, you'll bring it home and she'll butcher it. The whole carcass.
And then she'll butcher it down. Yeah. Yep, the whole carcass. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Right on. Well, this was our little super secret bonus to where we had to give Marco shit for why he needed 90 rounds to go on a wild boar hunt.
I'm going to pull the trigger until I hear click and not boom.
Which we're not mad about. No. I was just thinking like, wait a minute.
Also, you need a handgun. If one of those motherfuckers charges you. Okay, good.
Yeah,
is it what caliber?
40.
Okay. So just empty the whole magnum.
Yeah, you're gonna have to empty it. You should at least have it like a 357 Magnum or a 44 Magnum. I think my 45 might not even be enough because it has a lot of stopping power, a lot of mass, but no velocity. So just fucking unload in that guy. So there you go.
Just South stay Park, up in the fucking tree. Just
he's coming right for me.
He's coming.
He's coming right for me. Blum 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 blum.
We got to do more of these. Because this is reminding me of the whole Gen X thing. And remember in the CDs, they would have the hidden tracks.
Yeah, occasional hidden tracks after the podcast.
Do an occasional hidden track.
And right now the horror is fading out, and people are like, "What the hell?"